You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You've been banging on your pots and pans for weeks and weeks and weeks now about how I've been negative and how I'm not positive enough. Well, looky, looky here. We have a guest on from Montreal who's plenty positive, and you're not even here today. And still, you managed to give me some form of irony and ridiculousness to work with.
If we can win tonight, then I clearly don't know anything about football.
No, you don't. We have Michael, who's an Irish Forest fan, standing outside the statue of Christ the Redeemer, saying, "We're going to stay up and win the FA Cup." Heard it from the horse's mouth. Fantastic. We have Daniel, out in Geneva, who says, in inverted commas, "They're paid to have hindsight in the future." Imagine seeing that on a job ad. Very true. I think he's talking about my ridiculousness on the last podcast. And we have Scott's Tricky, Paul. It's his birthday today. He said, "Just listen to you eating the head off Matt on the last pod." He's referring to me, obviously. He said he'll be the whipping boy anytime Matt has had enough. Well, Matt seems to have had enough today, Paul, because Matt isn't here.
Hi, Chris, and everyone listening. Oh, I'm sorry I can't be there today. Pre-Arsenal. I wish I could be, but I have got the absolute privilege of sitting and doing my self-assessment and tax work right on deadline day, or within 48 hours of deadline day. So I'm afraid I have time to do more than this couple of voice notes work as well. I hope that's acceptable.
So as you can hear there, Matt has let me down again. But don't panic, we have a Montreal Red coming on today to continue the Forest all over the World Series. We will also have a couple of Matt's voice notes. One will be a red hot take, one will be a score prediction. That'll be interesting. So we'll have a couple of bits and pieces of Matt who sent some voice notes in for me. That's going to be it. Matt will be back for pre-Bournemouth because he hates them so. But without further ado, here is Mark Davies, all the way from Montreal. He wrote in to jump on whenever Matt wasn't available, which was fantastic. So really appreciate him coming on. Bang, here's Mark. Mark, how are you doing? Where are you in the world right now?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I'm in Montreal at the moment, obviously in Quebec in Canada.
Absolutely amazing. And how's it following Forest from all the way over in Montreal?
It's interesting. I mean, I guess Montreal is very much a hockey town. They love the Montreal Canadiens ice hockey team. The local population aren't necessarily that much into soccer. My brother came over last February to visit, and the day he was flying back, we had a couple of hours to kill before we needed to get to the airport. And we thought we'd go watch a Champions League game. There's a bar chain called La Cage, and there's one around the corner from me. So I thought I'll go there. Asked, are you showing the soccer? Just looked at it as if we were absolutely nuts. Like, why would we do that kind of thing? Having said that, there's plenty of places you can go. My particular favourite is a place called Bruno Sports Bar, which is just on the edge of Little Italy here. And it's very locally owned and and very authentic kind of sports bar experience. So, and he'll go out of his way to make sure he gets the game on for you. So you can always get to see the games, no problem.
Because I lived in Toronto for quite a period of time, and Hamilton as well. But I noticed when I went to Montreal, it was quite European. So I thought maybe that European side might leak into the football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do get that. The people who are interested in football tend to be those people with a European heritage, or you know, maybe African or Middle Eastern heritage, where they're more interested in football, or soccer as they call it here. There's plenty of people who are interested, as I say. It's just that I guess the diehard Quebecers, they're very much into ice hockey. And I could walk around in my Forest top all day and nobody would bat an eyelid or even know what it was.
Well, we're gonna change that. I know there's a Toronto Trickies group. Obviously, I'm still a member of it, right? And then I know there's a Vancouver group as well. And then there, I believe someone, I think Tom, tried to set up a Montreal one over there. But I don't know, so I think there was a bloke who was in the Toronto Trickies and then went further out to Montreal. And I think he tried to set one up over there. But there was definitely someone reaching out online about it, which would be pretty cool because you could go to a regular pub, watch the games. It would be a regular thing. What's your ritual for the game? How do you go to pubs to watch it? Do you watch it at home? Obviously, it's a little bit earlier for you. I used to wake up with a coffee in my hand.
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I mean, the great thing about living here is you get to see all of the games. They're all televised, as you know. So I think that would take some getting used to if I ever went back to the UK to, you know, not being able to see all the games on TV. You know, obviously for a 3 o'clock kickoff, it's 10 a.m. here. Sometimes that would be with a coffee in the hand in the apartment to watch that. Afternoon games, that would be a 2:45 in the afternoon here for an evening kickoff, sorry. So it's a bit of potluck as to whether there's any other fans in there as well. So for the Blackpool replay, I was the only guy in there pretty much. There was kind of three bums who were in there sheltering from the cold and me watching. So that meant I got the sound on, but I don't want to get the sound on because you'll get more people who obviously associate themselves with the more popular clubs. Yeah, I got to watch it with the sound off. That's fine. It doesn't bother me so much.
Yeah, I used to do a load when I was over there. Like before I knew about the fan groups there, I'd kind of be watching it on my phone. I remember me and my mate, he was a Newcastle fan, and Newcastle were in the Championship at the time, and both of us went and physically watched the game on a phone in a pub together. It's getting better. It's getting better, particularly with Fubo TV, which Fubo TV obviously has all the Premier League games, which is cool. Tell me, what was the last Forest game you went to back in Nottingham? Do you remember, or even like away game or anything? I mean, it might have been a while since you've been back. I don't know.
Well, actually, I was at the Spurs game, actually. So I went back for Christmas to visit family and everything. And yeah, we went to see the Spurs game, a very meaningful game with it being Cooper's last game in charge. I don't have a very good record, actually. So I think I've been to see three league games. I went to Wembley as well, but I've been to see three league games. One of them was the Middlesbrough game when Houghton got fired. I went to the Birmingham game, which was fine during the Championship season, and then Spurs just in December. So I've got a 66% kill rate on managers when it comes to coming to watch Forest in the league.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, what's difficult about going back is a lot of people I knew that went back to watch games, they'd always hope it was the one where Forest just won or even got a draw. Like I'd be thinking that in my head, because if you go back and you haven't been to a game in a while, I remember I went to a 1-0 QPR loss at home. I was devastated. I didn't get to see Forest for a long time after COVID hit and everything. So yeah, it's kind of one of those things. If you're abroad and you're going back once every year or so to watch a game, it can be devastating if you lose, which is
exactly. I've got it into my head that we were going to win 3-2 against Spurs, which of course was never going to happen given the way that they were playing, and turned out to not be the case, obviously. But yeah, you really, you know, with the limited opportunities that you have, you really want to make the most of those and to see a big win. I'm actually going to be going back again unexpectedly. I'm going to be going back on the 17th of Feb, so I'll be back for the West Ham game.
That'd be cool.
I actually got an email from an old school friend who's arranging an old get-together of a group of friends from school that I've not seen for years. So he can get me tickets for the West Ham game. I'm going to be going back for that as well. So I'll be seeing two in 2 months, which is very unusual for me, having been here for 5 years or so.
That's very, very cool. And so you've been there 5 years, is it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. From Nottingham originally, my dad used to take me down, I guess, a familiar story. So my dad would take me down. Probably started going when I was about seven or so. Actually, during the championship season, believe it or not. So I was there during the championship season, saw the European Cup games. Of course, completely took it for granted.
Back-to-back European Cups. I'd say he took it for granted. Jesus. I've never seen the likes.
Didn't know it'd be any different. Yeah, he'd put me up at the back of the, used to call it, because the Trentham was obviously terracing in those days and a bit rough and ready. And so he'd put me in the back, to call it the girders, like on sitting on the wall at the top, but inside the girder that was, you know, supported the roof. He'd kind of lob me up there before the start of the game with a quarter of sweets and, come and get me at the end of the game, basically.
That's quite a poignant memory that, you know, like, I mean, we all look back at the times when we first went to the games that kind of got us. I think my first game was actually 1998 and a friend of mine and I decided to support Nottingham Forest when we were young together. And his dad was kind enough to go, no, we need to take them to a game. My parents wouldn't have done that or wouldn't have really thought about it. And he took us over to Nottingham, bought us jerseys and everything. And that was the start of it. So for you, being sat up on that wall, given a thing of sweets, just to keep an eye, just to, so he could, you know, enjoy the game. And obviously he kind of kept an eye on you, I imagine. In those days, different. But it's quite a poignant memory, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, you kind of died in the wool from that day. And I used to love going. I used to, I mean, when you're that age, you know, your mind wanders. And it's kind of as much about the sights and the sounds and the smells as much as the actual sporting action that's going on, you know. And, you didn't see that as a kid anywhere else. You know, it was, you know, that number of people in the same place. You know, like I say, it was a bit rough and ready. And you'd see things that you wouldn't see certainly at school or on the streets. Yeah, I used to love it. So, you know, I've hooked from that day on, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. And tell me, Arsenal coming up. It's tomorrow night now.
Mm.
Tough game. A lot of players playing in the AFCON right now as we speak. I think Senegal are beating Ivory Coast. So
yeah, when I came on, it was 1-0, yeah.
Yeah, so someone's going home for us. But they won't be playing tomorrow. I look at that game and I kind of think to myself, like, I was really concerned about injuries and AFCON and playing Arsenal. But now I look at that game, I looked at the lineup we had against Man United, and about 8 starting players will definitely be there. That played against Man U. The other ones are like Aina, I think Elanga, maybe if he's back. I don't know if he will be. And I can't remember who the other person was. I think it was Onikate in the back, which is a pretty important position. But like, it's just, we do have a chance, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, especially given our recent record against Arsenal and do 1-0 wins, you know, I know they whacked Palace 5-0, but they're not in a great run of form themselves. They've had more time off. Is that a good or a bad thing? I don't know. You know, maybe they're going to be a bit rusty coming out of the traps. I do worry about centre-half. I think, you know, having two... I think they're both players of great potential, but I think having two youngsters playing together against Arsenal may be tricky. I'm not worried about Tavares missing out. I'd actually prefer to see Toffolo in there anyway. But guess what? It's going to be back. I get a feeling reading between the lines that Elanga will be back as well from what Nuno's been saying.
Yeah, I get a strange feeling as well that he will. Obviously, Taiwo, they're talking about him and throwing him in the mix, but I know he probably won't come back for this game.
I don't think so.
But Chris Wood can play, and Chris Wood's been on form, rich friend of form, so it's fine. But having Elanga back would be a massive plus. And I think what you said there is really important, is the two 21-year-old centre-backs, you know, can they hold their own? It's going to be a real lesson for them if they can't.
Yeah.
But I think we've been talking, everyone's been talking about set pieces. Do you think Forest, set piece wise, are going to struggle defensively like we have been for the whole season?
Yes.
You do.
Absolutely. Because why is it going to change in a week, you know? And I think, you know, going back, it's always been an Achilles heel of Forest, the defending set pieces. You know, they would always get turned over by the Wimbledons of this world. Playing the long ball, high ball into the box, and you know, centre half getting bullied and everything. So it's not a new thing. So yeah, I do worry. I know we've got the set piece coach, but have we really seen any changes as a result of that? I'm not sure if we have, both offensively and defensively. I think offensively
there's a bit more now about us on set pieces and balls in the box.
Maybe
that's because Wood is playing and he's brilliant in the air. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, but defensively, I haven't seen any change at all.
No, and, you know, it's not the most difficult thing to drill into a team as well. And so it is worrying that that penny hasn't dropped, you know, around following your man and don't wait for the ball to come to you, as we saw with Murillo against Brentford. But this is the problem when you play younger players, isn't it? So, which is why I just worry that the Arsenal game may be coming a game too early. It would be nice to have a Niakate or a Boly next to one of those two young centre-halves to provide a bit of experience. I think we're a better team when that's the case. But having said that, I definitely think we've got a chance. I'm not nervous about the game. I think we've got a chance. You know, again, another thing that I've seen with Forest over the years is we do tend to raise our game against the better teams and sink to the level of poorer teams. So, again, there's nothing new there. You know, we saw it against Man United and Newcastle.
We've beaten Chelsea. I know they're not magic this season, but they are going to probably finish top 10.
Yeah.
We've beaten Villa this season, who are in the top four right now. United, Newcastle away, where Newcastle away was a bit of a fortress. So last season, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal. So you're right, those big games, Brighton even last season, those big teams at the time or the teams that are doing well, we seem to be able to, at home, sort of take them out. It's just the smaller teams we're struggling against.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, these next three or four games are really important for us. Obviously, the FA Cup, we want to get through that test and then we meet Man United in the next round. We've obviously got Bournemouth, Arsenal tomorrow, Bournemouth after that, and then Newcastle and even West Ham. Three of those, in fact, four of the next five games, including the FA Cup, are home games.
Yes.
We've got to get back on winning ways. And I know it's only a game ago, prior to that in the league, that we won, but do you know what I mean? I feel like if we go through another slump like we did already once this season and twice last season, I don't know that we'll survive it.
I agree. You know, we don't know what points deduction we're going to get. I don't think it's going to be 10 points. I think Everton are going to get their punishment reduced on appeal, and I don't think our transgression was quite as bad as theirs, so I think we'll get a few points anyway. But I think we're going to have to make up 4 or 5 points, maybe. You know, Luton aren't giving up. We've got to take every point that we can. We've got to start soon, because if we don't make the most of those home games coming up, then what's left then? 14, 15 games, some tricky away games coming up against relegation rivals.
It only gets harder. And the thing is, like, to be fair, what you were saying about Luton there is fascinating, because I think it's going to really mess with Luton's head. I think the fact that they don't know what they're going for. I think them feeling like they were these plucky underdogs that were going to climb their way out no matter what. Once they saw what Everton got, they realized what the chase was. But now they're like, I don't think they know where they stand. They're like, should we go for a draw? As a point away, good?
Yeah,
they don't
maybe.
Know anymore. And I think it might mess with their heads. And I think Forest just have to, I think the FA Cup has been really good for us in that sense. Mentally, we've kind of just ignored the league for a little bit, had a couple of replays back to back. And all of a sudden, we're sort of getting out there, just going straight into the next game. And I think that's exactly what we need, just game after game after game after game, even with all the injuries, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a shame that first game is against Arsenal, you know, with the players that we've got missing. But I think we can get at least a point. My heart's saying 2-1. My head's saying maybe 1-1. I know you like to do red hot takes. My red hot take is that there's going to be some free kick action involved here. So I think after the Tony issue we all know about, and I think after that debacle of an effort last minute against Bristol City, when Nuno was apparently furious that Gibbs White didn't take it, I can see Gibbs White scoring a free kick.
Oh, I love that.
I can see that happening. And I think there's going to be a bit of controversy attached to it, which is going to then put us in an awkward position. Well, hang on a minute. We were complaining about Tony, but now we've benefited from something here. So, yeah. I've just got a feeling that, of course, it probably won't happen, but I've got a feeling that we might see something like that.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant red hot take, because Matt, of all people, will love that red hot take. So you think that Morgan Gibbs-White's going to score a free kick and there's going to be some sort of controversy involved. And you know what? We'll take it. Maybe we deserve our controversy after what happened to us last week. Right. And two more things. One final thing is, what's your score prediction tomorrow? We've already said it. Do you reckon we're going to win 2-1?
I think I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to go with my head. Okay. I think we're definitely capable of winning.
Right. Good man. And then you think Gibbs-White's going to score a free kick. Brilliant. And final thing, I suppose, is where are you going to watch the game tomorrow?
I'm going to make it to Bruno's tomorrow. So it's an evening kickoff. Yeah, I'll be at Bruno's Sports Bar. So if anybody on the off chance anybody's watching is in the Montreal area, I'll be happy to meet you there. And who knows, they might have the volume on, because there might be some Arsenal fans in there as well.
They might stick the volume on for you. You never know. But listen, when I was in Budapest watching Forest Arsenal last time, they put the volume on, but it was all like, I think it was in German. So like, but it was good. You can hear the crowd. It would give a bit of an atmosphere. You make do when you're abroad. You make do.
Exactly.
And that's what's brilliant about it. Look, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Do you have any shout outs to anyone you want to give a shout out to?
I want to shout out to my brother, season ticket holder, Matt. Not the guy from, he's not Matt Davies from Forest Focus, but he has the same name. So yeah.
Oh, his name's Matt Davies, is it?
Yeah, but it's not the Matt Davies. Yeah. So shout out to him, and he helped me get tickets the last time. My girlfriend, who is an honorary Forest fan now, so a local girl, Caroline. Shout out to her. Yeah, and to my mates who I'm going to be seeing on the 17th of Feb.
That's absolutely brilliant. That's fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on. Matt, do you have any messages for him real quick? He'll hate me saying this because he'll say it's indulgent, but do you have any messages for my Matt?
Only to pull your finger out, you know, you're running a podcast or what here, you know? So you shouldn't be relying on strangers coming in and filling your slot, eh?
That's it. Always, always a pleasure when I hear that. Always a pleasure. Yeah. A lot of people say the same thing. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. That's Mark all the way from Montreal. What a legend. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, a big thank you to Mark coming on all the way from Montreal, and any other Forest all over the world listeners that want to call in, jump on, fill in for Matt whenever he's not here, or when he is here for me, or whenever on the Forest all over phone show that we'll be doing in the next few weeks, please do reach out to us, jump in. But for now, let's listen to Matt's red hot take.
Okay, I've been sitting and thinking about a red hot take. It's so boring sometimes when you force this out of me, because, or yourself, a red hot take should be when you actually have one, trying to like squibble around in my brain to invent something without feeling like I'm doing it because you've told me to. But anyway, I think the best thing I can come up with that's slightly, not even that controversial, it's just, again, it's a bit of a negative Nelly one.
Negative, eh? So now we've kind of figured out that Matt's actually the negative one.
From the way I think a lot of our players are that have come in through the door over the past couple of years, despite their high points, when they're low, it tends to be down to attitude. And I'm apprehensive about the return of a few of the AFCON players. Everyone's saying, oh, they'll be back. But red hot take is they will be back, but there'll be things like injury, tiredness, illness, jet lag, dare I say it.
Jet lag? Matt, of course there's going to be injuries. There's going to be injuries to our whole team like there has been for the past 2 years. Jet lag? You clown.
And general post-AFCON blues. And I'm going to say that we don't see the best of Sangare until next season if he stays on board with Forest, which I'm sure he'll have to because they're currently going to be making a massive loss on him. But I think we're going to be disappointed with him all season, and I hope I'm wrong.
Well, what about Niakate, our centre-back, who played against Man United and Newcastle in those games that we won? Or Aina, who also played in those games? Like, what are you talking about? We need those players back. Of course we do. This is so typical.
Does that count as a cold blue take rather than a red hot take? Oh, it's so... I do. I love your games, Chris. I love your games.
Okay, you love my games. All right.
But I hate them as well.
There you go.
Okay, I don't know if this is a red hot take or just a red hot wish, but I am so game for Brees Samba, mate. Why can't we just get our tails between our legs as a club, pay him what he wants, get him back? What a lift that will give the club.
I think Brees Samba coming back would be brilliant. I actually think that's a great idea. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think it's smart. I'd love him back. We screwed it up in the first place. Ever since then, we've had keeper problems. Should have him back, definitely. I'm with you on that. I don't think that's a red hot take. I think everyone kind of wants Samba back and has done since the beginning and thinks he'd probably be very good in the Premier League. So, yeah, I don't think that's a red hot take at all. You've had your red hot take. That's it.
Is there any way? People skim over it. I've heard another podcast. They go, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I lie there going, but why? Why isn't it going to happen? What? We're willing to bend over backwards for so many people like Sangare or like other
people.
Yeah,
we get it. Samba, I'm not going to listen to that again. You always tell me to move on. I'm moving on from you now. We get it. Brees Samba, you want him back. Everyone does. I like that. That's not bad. Now, what's your Arsenal prediction, Matt?
Score prediction for Arsenal game. I'm sorry, I just feel in my bones that this is a loss. I know you've been saying we'll beat them for weeks, Chris. I know you think that it's going to be a win. You'll probably backtrack on that now or deny.
No, I won't backtrack on it. But I'm recognising that you're the negative one and everyone else is recognising it as well.
But you said we'll win this game and you've been very confident about it in the past.
Which I admire.
But I think we're going to lose on Tuesday night. And I think we're going to lose 2-0. Sorry to piss on the bonfire of this episode in everyone's ears. It's really gutting, isn't it?
As usual, haunting me from the grave, not even here. But we will see you after the Arsenal game. Matt, far all over the world, listeners, we will see you after the Arsenal game and pre-Bournemouth as well. And we'll be back for plenty of reaction and pre-Bournemouth as well. So thanks very much. Follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. We are the Forest All Over the World podcast. Please write in if you're in different parts of the world watching the game from somewhere. If you've got your Forest jersey and you're standing outside Christ the Redeemer, I don't care. Send in what you have, what you can. We love it. Me and Matt will be back pre-Bournemouth, post-Arsenal, after we beat Arsenal.
Podcast Network.